Blog Talk Radio. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise the Lord. We worship you because of who you are. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth, and no one else but him alone. Hallelujah. And he cares for every one of us. He wants all of us to make it in, to be found worthy to escape the wrath to come. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This is Pastor Carlos A. Ramos Jr. and your host, The Way, the Truth, and the Life Tabernacle, presenting unto you another episode, another Bible study. Is Christianity Real? Principles of Christianity. We are transmitting from Blog Talk Radio, and you can call us at 516-418-5944. And we would encourage you to invite your family, friends, and neighbors to join us here on Blog Talk Radio. For those of you that want to send us an email, if it's too late, like overseas, you could email the church, WTL, lowercase, tabernacle, WTL, tabernacle, at gmail.com. Glory be, glory be. And if you'd like to speak to the pastor after the program, you can call 772-626-3178. In the meantime, if you have any questions, testimonies, or comments, you can call Blog Talk Radio at 516-418-5944. And you look for the number sign, and you press the number 1 to be on our participation part. Glory be, glory be. So once again, we are studying the Bible, and we ask ourselves the question, and we have to come to an answer. Is Christianity real? Principles of Christianity. Now, I mentioned 5 of them, but there's probably more. I mentioned 5 because 5 is the number of grace. And these are the basic ones that we need to know. And so I didn't want to go deep into anything, so I brought out the basic ones, the ones that we need to know. The first one, glory be, the first one is going to be repentance. But before we start, let us have a word of prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, we glorify you for this opportunity that we have to present this teaching on Blog Talk Radio. Father God, look upon those behind the scenes. Nobody sees them, nobody hears them, but they're doing their due diligence, working in Blog Talk Radio to make sure that this transmission goes out. Hallelujah. I would ask that you would protect them and their families, encamp us about them with your holy angels, oh Father God. And I ask that you hedge them around, Father God, that the enemy can't come but this far. I ask you, Father God, to give them traveling mercies and to go to and fro from work. And Lord, Father God, if there is someone out there who doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, I pray that your Holy Spirit, through your word, would draw them unto you, O Father God, so they too could be found worthy to escape the wrath to come. In the precious name of Jesus, Lord, if we have offended you, word did a thought, commission and omission sins, Father God, we repented them. We ask you to cleanse us, and we thank you for cleansing us. Father God, we'll continue to do the work that you call us to do. In the precious name of Jesus, amen and amen. Once again, this is Pastor Carlos A. Ramos from The Way, the Truth, and the Life Tabernacle, transmitting here from Blog Talk Radio. You can call us at 516-418-5944. Glory, if you have any comments, questions, or testimonies, you look for the number sign, you press the number 1. Glory be, glory be. If you wish to email the church, you can mail us at lowercase WTLTabernacle@gmail.com. Or you could call the pastor at 772-626-3178 after 7 p.m., after the program is over. Hallelujah. Let's go into repentance, and let's go on to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, and verse 17, and let's see what that says to us. And we're talking about the principles of Christianity. One of the first principles is repentance. And in 4:17, Matthew 4:17, it says, From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You have to understand, I'll give you a little background. He just went through the 40 days of fasting and 40 nights, and he was tempted of the enemy in the wilderness. He's at Capernaum now, and it's very dark over there. And, you know, the darkness represents no light. It also represents sin in our life. So he was saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It was very dark, not only physically, because there was the lights were out, but also spiritually, because we, God's commandment, sin is the transgression of the law, according to James. And when you read Isaiah 59, it says sin is what separates us from God. And when you read Psalms 19 and 7, it says the law is what converts your soul. So brothers and sisters, that's one of the reasons Jesus was preaching, repent. And John the Baptist did the same thing. And the apostles and Evangelist Spurgeon and myself and all the other pastors that follow through with the message of the gospel, because Jesus Christ, the apostles, and Spurgeon, to Smith, Witherswork, myself, and other evangelists, we preach 90% law, 10% grace. We don't preach a greasy grace. The problem is people breaking the law of God. And it's very simple. In Jeremiah chapter 31, he says, and I will give you a new covenant. Not like the old covenant where your forefathers break. I'll give you a new covenant. I will write my laws in your heart. I will be your God. You will be my children. I will forgive your sins and not remember them anymore. So you see what's in our heart, what's written in our hearts already. And we could say our conscience is the law of God. So when you're doing wrong, like for instance, let's say you take something that doesn't belong to you. It doesn't matter the value of the item. What matters is that you did something. You stole something. You took something that didn't belong to you. What do we call someone who takes something that doesn't belong to them? You're right. A thief. And let me tell you, the scripture plainly says it, that there's no place for a thief in heaven, in the name of God. So if you look at the Ten Commandments that God gave us, it's for us to purify ourselves, to sanctify ourselves, although he sanctifies in Christ Jesus, but there is something that we are fighting against. We're fighting against the flesh, because the flesh tempts you a lot. It gives you a lot of desires. And you can read the works of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5. You have Satan who encourages you and tempts you with a lot of things. Oh, God is not concerned about that. He's not watching you. And just like Eve, he says to her, you could be as God if you eat of this fruit, knowing good and evil. But that's wrong, brothers and sisters. What else is against us? The world. The world brings a lot of, I want things. I look around and I see my neighbor with a beautiful car. I want that car. So the world tempts you with covetousness. And we have to be very careful. Because if you remember, that's exactly what happened to Eve. When she saw the fruit, she thought it was good for food. It was good to make one wise. And it was good for the eyes. Three things that it harms us. And when you read on in the letters in the New Testament, you read that the same thing. We have Satan, the world, and the flesh all against us. So Jesus says, repent. For the kingdom of God is at hand. Why? What is repentance? It's turning around 180 degrees from what you used to do, and now you don't do it no more. If you was a thief, you're no longer a thief. But you know, you go to God in prayer and you ask him to remind you of those sins that you did, and you repent of them. You repent of them. You tell your Father that you're sorry, that you repent of those sins, because you don't want sins to be carried on you. You don't want to carry a bag full of sins. It's repentance is the number one thing. You repent first to God because you broke his law. You ask for forgiveness. Then you got to repent or forgive yourself for what you have done. And if you have done any harm to your neighbor, and your neighbor is anyone, then you need to repent to them. So there's three ways that you need to repent: God, self, and neighbor. You cannot hold on to sin. You cannot hold on to unforgiveness. You must, if you want to make it into the kingdom of God, you must be cleansed of that. Glory be, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Repentance. The second one is, we got to go to Acts chapter 20 and verse 21. Talking about faith. Now we know what Hebrews 1:1 says. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We understand what Hebrews also says, that without faith we can't please God, because we must believe that he's the rewarder of them who diligently seek him. So let's go to Acts chapter 20 and verse 21. Solemnly declaring both to the Jews and to the Greeks the need of repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. So repentance is number one. We have to have ourselves be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. We have to be cleansed by God. And the Jewish people, if you follow their history, you see how they washed themselves in the mitzvah or in the water before they ascended up on Mount Sinai. They had to cleanse themselves twice and be ready for the third day. They had to clean themselves. They had to clean the clothes that they had on. They had to make sure that they were clean. So repentance towards God and faith towards Jesus Christ. Why do we need faith towards Jesus Christ? Well, you and I, brothers and sisters, do not know Jesus Christ after the flesh. That was the early apostles, the woman that followed, those Pharisees and Sadducees that, and Caesar Augustus and Herod. All those people at that time in the first century knew Jesus after the flesh. Mary bore him as a virgin. Joseph, his stepfather, raised him up. Why we need faith towards Jesus Christ? Because we don't know him after the flesh. When Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, he says, we know that the works that you do, no man could do it unless God is with them. And Jesus said, you must be born again. Well, why do we need to be born again? To have faith in Jesus Christ. Why do we need that? Because you and I could trace our ancestry back to Adam and Eve through the flesh. However, to have belief in Jesus Christ, whom you have not seen, takes faith. You need to pour yourself out there and say, I'm going to believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died for me in my place. And so we have faith towards Jesus Christ. We accept him. We receive him as a Lord and Savior. Follow through, because he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And one day he's going to descend in the clouds. We're going to be raptured up and changed to be just like him. We're going to be with him where he's at now, in his Father's house. But then he's going to come back with us and to rescue Israel. But that won't happen unless you have faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to believe. Jesus said in Mark 11:24, when you pray, believe that you have it and you shall receive it. So you're not saved today. The Holy Spirit says, in the day that you hear my voice, harden not your heart, as in the day of provocation when your forefathers tempted me in the wilderness. Harden not your heart. Receive Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Repent. Ask for forgiveness. Ask for cleansing, and he will do that. Repentance towards God and faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 20:21. Solomon declaring, Solomon declaring both to the Jews and the Greeks, the need of repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Glory be, glory be. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so the next step that we take, brothers and sisters, after we have received Christ as the Lord and Savior, we want to show an outward showing of an inward experience. And we need to be baptized. We need to be baptized and to be, that's immersion, brothers and sisters. That's sprinkling of blood. I was brought up Catholic, and I remember, you know, the priest sprinkling the blood on little kids, and they call that baptism. That is not baptism according to the Bible. Baptism is immersion. You go under water, just like Jesus, when he was baptized by John the Baptist, he went under the water. When he came out of the water, the Holy Spirit descended. Same thing like us, brothers and sisters. We go under the water, a type of the death of Jesus Christ, the burial. We go under the water. We are saying we are dying to self. We're not going to live according to this flesh in the world. And then we are lifted up out of the water as a type of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You come up as a new person. The Word of God tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, he that's in Christ Jesus has become a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all has become new. That is the baptism. And not only the baptism in the water, which we read in Acts 2:38, but if we go to John chapter 3, and verse 5, Jesus says that we must be born again of the Spirit and the water. So we looked at the water now, but now we got to look at the Spirit. I began by saying that we was born in the flesh, that we could trace our ancestry back to Adam and Eve. That's because we was born in the flesh. But being born of the Spirit, is Jesus gave a description. It's like the wind blowing. You don't know where it comes. And you don't know where it's headed, but you can see the evidence by the movement of the leaves. Same thing with the being born again of the Spirit of God. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit, Christ himself, will come in you, and there is going to be a change in you. You're no longer the same. You no longer think the same way you used to think. Your actions are different than they were before because there's something new within you. And, you know, God just cleansed you. God just wrote your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. God transferred you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. You've become a child of the living King. You've been sealed with the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. He calls you an ambassador. He calls you a king and a priest. Hallelujah. And most importantly, Jesus calls you a good servant. Welcome in that good and faithful servant. And that's what happens, brothers and sisters. So we have to be baptized in the water, and we have to be baptized in the Spirit. Some people, as you read Acts chapter 2, they were baptized in the Spirit. The Spirit came like a mighty rushing wind, like on each of them, like cloven tongues. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And if you study that chapter carefully, you will see that they spoke and the dialects of the people who came to celebrate Pentecost. So they understood what the apostles were saying in their dialect. And the Bible said that they came from all over the world. They came from Rome. They came from Greek, from Spain. They came from all over. And they were able to understand what the apostles were saying because they were speaking in their dialect. And that was the power of the Holy Spirit upon them. These days, you know, the Bible talks about, Paul talks about a personal language, which we have, which we use in prayer. And that edifies oneself. And then there's a dialect, there's a languages, tongues, that is given in church. But there is an interpreter. Someone interprets that language, what you're saying in the spirit. And that would edify. That would edify the strangers. Prophecy would edify the believers. But languages, tongues, with the interpretation of tongues, would edify the unbelievers, those that come to visit the church. You know, so everything that is done has to be done in decent and in order. You can't just ramble on in tongues and nobody interprets. Something is not right. Something is not according to the word of God. And it could bring confusion in the church who don't have an intimate relationship with the Lord, who don't study the word appropriately, and they could be confused in that area. Glory be, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now we're going to go into a different principle, and it's going to be found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and that's going to begin at verse 13 and 14, and it's going to tell us something, and we should read the scriptures and ask God to give us an understanding of what the scripture is saying so we could grow thereby. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 and verse 14, it says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Glory be to the Lord. That is the resurrection. If you remember Abraham, God told Abraham to sacrifice his son. And Abraham had faith in God because he knew that God would resurrect his son. So Abraham was obedient unto God, and he was going to offer up his son Isaac, his only son. And God said, "Don't do it, because I know that you love me." Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so we see the resurrection from the dead there. There's another scripture we should read. It's Luke chapter 16 and verse 19 to 21. And it says, "There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and delighted in luxury every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus who was laid at his gate, covered with sores, and desired to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores." Hallelujah. So he wanted to eat some of the crumbs that fell off the man's table. But you know what? The man did not share anything with Lazarus. Are we talking about the Lazarus that Jesus resurrected? Or are we talking about a different Lazarus? That is something to study. But this Lazarus was a beggar. Into the Gospels, we understand what Jesus says, that both he, Lazarus, and the rich man both die. Lazarus went to the bosom of Abraham, where the rich man found himself on the other side, in hell. And he cried out to Jesus, or to Abraham, and he said that he wanted Lazarus to dip his finger in the water and give him to drink. But Abraham said, you can't cross the gulf that's in between. You can't go from one side to the other. So then the rich man said, well, send him back, because if my brothers will hear him, they will repent. But Jesus said, even if somebody comes alive from the dead, they won't believe. Lazarus didn't resurrect the way that the rich man wanted. But Lazarus was in the bosom of Abraham, paradise. And Lazarus met Jesus when Jesus went down to, after his death on the cross, he saw him. I'm sure they spoke about, you know, the encounter with the rich man. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to the last part, which is eternal judgment. And that'll be the fifth principle that we're going to talk about. I mean, we're going to go over the other ones in a little while, but we just setting the stage or the foundation for each one of these. The fifth one is eternal judgment. And remember, I said five is the number of grace. So let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter 20, beginning at verse 11. And the word of God says, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The word of God says the following. White throne. And him who was sitting on it, from his face, earth and heaven fled away. No place was found for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And you notice that him that was sitting on the throne was God. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by the things written in the book according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And each one of them was judged according to his deeds. And death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And this is first. This is the verse that you should cling on to if you're not saved. It says, and whoever was not found in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Brothers and sisters, we have an opportunity today. Today is the day of salvation. The Holy Spirit says, and you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Because tomorrow is not promised to no one. It has been appointed to man once to die and then the judgment. So if you leave this body tonight and you go before God for the judgment, are you going to make it into heaven or are you going to the lake of fire? Sin is transgression of the law of God. So God doesn't send anyone to hell. All he does is accommodate the people's wishes. So if a thief goes before God, God is going to accommodate his wishes, which means he wants to go to the lake of fire. He don't want to go to heaven. Had he wanted to go to heaven, he would have stopped being a thief. He would have done what God says in his word. And then Jesus would have said, welcome in, that good and faithful servant. Where do you stand today? Are you ready to meet your maker? Are you ready to go to the judgment? Just imagine a person who broke the commandments of God and never repented. They stand before a holy God to be judged for every word and deed that they have committed in their lifetime. And God gives them an opportunity to speak. But what excuse could anyone come up with in heaven when you have denied the Savior of the world, when you have denied the Holy One of Israel, when you have denied Jesus Christ, the one who took your place on the cross that you may have eternal life? We're in right now, it's temporal. It's only going to last for a certain amount of years. Statistics say that man lasts up to the age of 70 or 80, and women last between 85 and 90. The Word of God says 70 plus 10 could be 80. So depending on the assignment that we have on this earth, whether we accomplish it or whether we just throw it away. I want to accomplish what the Lord has given me. And at this time, he's got me here serving him and bringing forth the word through Blog Talk Radio. And in church, I speak as I'm called upon. I don't impose myself or my belief on anyone. Because this is a personal relationship with your God. You cannot hold on to anybody's coattail and say, he believes this way, I'm going to go that way. No. Your belief, your status is between you and your God. When you look at the scriptures in Romans 10, verse 17, it says, faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When you look at the scriptures and you examine the scriptures and you see how in the first covenant, which is the Old Testament, how the prophets spoke of the coming Messiah, and you see the New Testament, which is the second covenant, how Jesus came, he fulfilled the law and the prophets, and he opened the door for you and I to be safe. But he doesn't impose his will on no one. Even if you remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, his human self said to the Father, Father, if it's your will, let this cup be taken from me. Yet nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And so, how do you reckon yourself with a holy God? The word says, without holiness, no man will see the Lord. If you like to pray, you can call the Way, the Truth, and Life Tabernacle at Blog Talk Radio, 516-418-5944. Look for the number sign and number one. Glory be to the Lord. And you will be connected and we'll pray together. Towards the end of the program, we're going to pray for people. Because there's people who are shy, people who don't want to come on the air, but yet they want to pray. And we're going to pray, my brothers and sisters. And I believe that some of you will repent, will have faith. We'll seek a church where you're going to be water baptized and seek God, baptism of the Holy Spirit. So you know, no matter what happens, you're either going to be taken up in the rapture or raised up in the resurrection. Either way, you would know whether you're going to be going to the kingdom of heaven or going to the lake of fire and the judgment. You have a confidence that you're going to the kingdom of heaven in Christ Jesus. If you remember the book of Hebrews chapter 3, it ends with saying, Some of them did not make it into the rest because of unbelief. Let not the same thing fall upon you, and you enter not in. But you see, we are resting in Christ Jesus. He is our Sabbath day, every day, because tomorrow is not promised to nobody. So I have to worship him and praise him every day. Today might be the day that the Lord says, Pastor Carlos, today you're coming home. And I'm not going to argue with the Lord. I have to do what he says. And I hope you don't argue with the Lord either. I hope you do what he says. And what he says is for you to repent towards God, have faith towards Jesus Christ, go and be water baptized, seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you would have a guaranteed feeling that whether you're caught up in the rapture or you're resurrected, you're going to be in the kingdom of heaven, and you don't have to worry about eternal judgment because you will be in heaven. You will not go to the great white throne judgment. You will not go to the lake of fire. Your name will be written down in the Lamb's book of life. You see, those of us who accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior are going to what is called in the Greek, the Bema Seat. The Bema Seat, if you remember, if you ever watch a tennis match, the judge is sitting high and above the players. And Jesus Christ is going to be sitting at the Bema Seat. And we're going to go, we're either going to be raptured up or we're going to be resurrected. And we're going to prostrate ourselves before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he's going to bring us home. He's going to bring us in. And he's going to, we're going to have that state of meal with him, like he said, at the Father's kingdom. Those people that choose not to accept Jesus Christ and they want to take a chance with their life, eternal life. Remember, you're going from a temporal life to an eternal life. Those people that refuse Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of God, will go to the great white throne judgment. Jesus Christ will be there at the great white throne. He is the one sitting at the great white throne. He is the true God. He's the only God, the one and only God. And he will look into the Lamb's book of life. People's names won't be there because they rejected the Holy One of Israel. And they'll be cast into the lake of fire with Satan, the Antichrist and the false prophet, and all those who took on the mark of the beast during the tribulation time. Would you spend eternity in heaven with God, or would you spend eternity away from God, which is the lake of fire? It's your choice, brothers and sisters. God only accommodates what you choose. And if you choose heaven, then you're going to do everything that is right, that's going to cause you to have your name written down in the Lamb's book of life. If you refuse, your name won't be written down in the Lamb's book of life, and you'll be cast into the lake of fire. So let's have a word of prayer for all those of you who don't want, who maybe are shy to call in, but you want to pray anyway. Follow along with me. Be sincere from God from your heart, and God will save you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that I heard this program. I thank you that I learned a little bit about the principles of Christianity. I thank you that how I learned about my status before you. And Lord God, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you to examine me with your Holy Spirit and remove that. I repent of all my sins, knowingly and unknowingly, commission and omission sins, Lord God. all those sins. I repent of all those sins, Lord God. I am sorry. And I ask for you to change me, Father God, so I could start anew with you, start a new walk, start a new life. Help me, Lord, to tell others about you so they too could have the name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I thank you that you written my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I thank you that you sent your Son, your only begotten Son, who offered himself up as a sacrifice. He shed the blood. He gave his body over as a sacrifice. Lord, I thank you. Because there's no way that I could have done that. There's no way that I would sustain that pain that he went through. Jesus, that you sustain yourself with all the pain. I just thank you that you have strength, Lord God, to do all that. To put yourself out there for me. Thank you that you saved me. From this day forward, Lord God, I want to do your will. I don't want to do my will. I want to study the word. Lord, I pray that by your Holy Spirit, you will guide me to a church that I may grow spiritually, that I may learn of these things and put them into practice and live according to your word, Lord God. I don't want to be a religious person. I want to have a personal relationship with you, Lord God. Help me to do the right thing. Allow me to find a church that I'm going to grow spiritually, to go to the pastor and say, Pastor, here I am for you to use me. And Lord, give me the strength to do the work that he assigns me. Lord, give me the strength and the words to say to those that need to hear the gospel, Lord God. As I go forward, oh Father God, I pray for all my family who don't know you. I pray for them. Lord, I pray for them. And I ask that you reach them out. And I pray that you change me, Lord. And let them see the change, Father God, so they could be drawn unto you, oh Lord God. Oh Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for being with us. Thank you for being with me. Even though people abandoned, people have gone away, Lord, but you're always there. You said you would never leave me nor forsake me. And I thank you, Lord. I pray for my wife, Lord God. I pray that you would touch her and that she would have a revelation, Father God, and that she would come home, Father God, to reestablish our family. Help us. Help us, Father God, to do the right thing. Help us, Father, to reach the people that you want us to reach. Prepare us, oh Father God, to speak to others. Give us the word that we are to say. We don't want to input ourselves because we know we messed things up. But we're dependent on you, Lord God. And I ask, Father God, that you put upon my friends, my brothers and sisters, who have repented, Father God, you clothe them with the armor of God from head to toe, Father, and give them the strength, the courage to go forward. Because like your word says, we're in a war, but our warfare is not carnal. It is spiritual, to bringing down the mighty, the thoughts and the dreams and the ideas that don't belong to God. Our weapons are not carnal but spiritual, to bring down these things. Father God, and as your word says, we don't fight flesh and blood, but spiritual wickedness, principalities and powers and high places. Help us, O Lord, Father God, to do the right thing. Lord, Father God, I pray that your church, wherever denomination they might be, Father God, that we will come together as one. Just like Jesus said, we as one, he in us and you in him. Father God, help us to to follow the law that Christ given us. He said to love one another as he has loved us. Help us to love one another so the world may see and that the world could come forward. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. We glorify you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Glory. This Sunday coming is our Bible Mystery Day. So the question is why would the nations mourn? That's for Sunday at 6 p.m. And then Tuesday at 6 p.m. is our prayer time. And Thursday we'll be back with another Bible teaching. And we're going to be teaching about the power from Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We're talking about the power that God has given to us. Glory be, glory be. Hallelujah. So once again, you can call us at 516-418-5944. Look for the number sign, press that, and then you look for number one. You will be able to communicate with me. I'll see your hand up. I see your phone number. And I will click on it, and we'll conversate. You could call if you have a testimony, a question, or comment regarding our teaching for today. If you're not sure about something, we'll try to clarify it. If we have the answer, if we don't have the answer, we will look for the answer and reach out to you during the week. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. These are just five principles of the Christianity. You know, and I want you to think about it. It's very simple. We didn't go deep into either one of them. Repentance, faith, baptism, water and spirit, resurrection from the dead, and eternal judgment. Those are five basic Christian principles that we spoke about. We didn't go deep into it. Okay? And what I want you to do, study yourself, approve unto God. A workman needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So when you're speaking, when you're searching, search the scriptures. Encourage you, if you have a laptop, you go into the Blue Letter Bible. That's a very good Bible to study. The Pastor's Bible, Study Bible, is also a good study Bible. The Logos Bible is also a very good Bible. My Sword Bible is a good program, also application. All these things I also consult, and I have concordances, dictionaries, I have Bible prophecy books, and things like that that help me understand the Word of God a little bit more each and every day. Do we know it all? No. Do we falter? Yes, but the Word of God says in 1 John 1:9, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful to cleanse us and to wash us. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. We're going to continue our study, continue our prayer, continue the Bible mystery. Ever so as the Spirit guides us and directs us. Hallelujah. We're going to put a little song. It's called Anointing, and then we're going to end. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. My brothers and sisters, this is Pastor Carlos A. Ramos of The Way, The Truth, and The Life Tabernacle here on Blog Talk Radio. The phone number to the Blog Talk Radio is 516-418-5944. We're coming to the end of the program. You could text us if you like or write an email, lowercase wtltabernacle@gmail.com, or you can call me after 7 o'clock when the program is over, 772-626-3178. And until then, until Sunday evening, may the Lord richly bless you. Amen.